For the next 3 weeks, I'd like for us to be talking and thinking about giants. No, not the New York Giants. I don't like them either. No, not the giant at the top of Jack's Beanstalk, nor the big friendly giant, nor the giant that haunts us in our dreams at night. But I want to talk to you about the giants you know very well. The giants that stop you in your tracks, that stop you from walking down the path that God has laid out for you. Giants that keep you from trying something you've never tried, pushing yourself a little hard, reaching out to your dreams, those giants that are more imposing than any of the giants we looked at this morning. Let me start off and tell you a giant I faced when I was in high school. This last Tuesday, I went and visited one of our teenagers and watched him play football. Where's Keegan? Okay, Keegan's back here on the back. I went to watch Keegan play football. The boy's a hustler. He was in on the first tackle that I saw. He recovered a fumble. And he's also the punter for the team. Well, when I saw him punt, it reminded me of something happened when I was in high school. I played football all through high school, and I was not a great player. I would say I was above average, but that was about it. But I could really punt the ball, was always able to. But the punter on the team was a guy named Ed Milam. Ed was one of these super athletes. He went to the University of Georgia on a full football scholarship. And even though I knew I could out-punt him, nobody challenged Ed Milam. He was also the coach's favorite kid. And I still recall after football season was over, a bunch of us guys on the football team were up on the field playing around and throwing footballs and kicking footballs, and the coach was up there. And I said, "Coach, watch this." And the guy passed the ball to me, and I punted it far further than our punter could have done. I was just really good punting the ball. And I'll never forget Coach Bagley. He looked at me, and he said, "Why didn't you tell me you could do that?" And you know, that kind of haunted me. Why didn't I tell him? Because I think I was a little bit afraid of challenging Ed Milam because of who he was, and partly the fear of failure. And you know what? The fact that I did not become our team's punter, no big deal, right? No big deal. But if you're afraid to move forward and become that person God created you to be, that is a big deal. If you stay in an abusive relationship because you've been convinced you can't do any better, that is a big deal. If you stay in a dead-end job that doesn't have a lot of future for you, and you can't provide for the needs of your family, and you stay there because you're afraid to try for anything else, that is a big deal. If you're afraid to go to college, afraid you can't cut it, or afraid you can't handle the classes, and because of that you just go ahead and drop out of high school and settle, that is a big deal. God has a purpose for our lives. A grand purpose, I believe. But we tend to sometimes sell ourselves short, and we sell God short, and we settle. We settle for less than God's best in our lives. I came across a poem the other day entitled Maud Mueller. Anybody know the poem Maud Mueller? I didn't think so. written back in the 1800s. It's a very sad love story. It's a story of a young farm girl who dreams of one day moving to the city and one day having a good life. And it's the story of a young judge who one day hopes to find him a wife that he can take to the city with him and raise a family. They by chance meet one day at a stream. The girl, Maud, has a cup and she drinks from it and offers this young judge a cup of the cool water from the creek. Their eyes meet and there's that chemical attraction as the darts are going back and forth. And both of them are thinking, wow. But she doesn't say anything. And the young judge says nothing. And eventually he gets on his horse and rides off. And the rest of the poem are all the thoughts that flash through his mind. Wow, she was beautiful. Wow, we could have had a wonderful relationship. And as she goes back home, all she can think about is this judge and all the great things that their life together could have been. But neither of them said anything. But there's a line in that poem that many of you do know. For all the words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. For me and you, that's our life. We don't want to get to the end and say, what if? We don't want to settle here and wonder why I didn't go any further. And man, it might have been. With God on your side, you don't need to settle. With God on your side, you can achieve the dreams that God purposes in your heart. But it is going to mean facing some giants. And I'm going to talk to you the next 3 weeks about King David. Now, for those of you that don't know, we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel is a book of history. And in this history, it talks about the first king of Israel. His is Saul, but the second king and the greatest king in Israel's history is a man named David. And I want to take you through some of the struggles he had. Confidence, I'm going to take you through the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to talk to you about his failures, and I'm going to talk to you about what some of you deal with today. Life was not very fair to him, but he was willing to face and tackle that giant in his life. So the story is this, and we'll get started in a moment here. David is a teenager, the youngest of what we know are 8 sons. He has been given the task of watching a few sheep. He is not a soldier. He is not a warrior. The father is taking care of his baby son. But there was something about David, his heart, that has got God's attention. He has a heart for God. And God wants him to be the king, the next king of Israel. But nobody else thinks he has the potential. Nobody else thinks he has a chance. Everybody keeps throwing up obstacles saying, you can't, you shouldn't, what are you doing? I suspect that you've heard some of that in your own life. But I want to tell you this, if God can be with David, God can be with you. If God can help David become that person he created him to be, God can enable you, God can empower you, God can sustain you, that you can fulfill those dreams that God has birthed in your heart. One thing that I do not want my children to do is settle for less than God's best. And I know one thing your Heavenly Father does not want you to do is settle for less than God's best. With that in mind, to the book of 1 Samuel, you can follow along in your bulletins, or you could turn in your Bibles if you would like. where we are in the scripture here. Samuel, the prophet and the judge, has just been instructed by God to go anoint the new king of Israel. All right. When Samuel arrived at the home of Jesse, he saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things the way man looks at things. Man looks on outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." So when Samuel arrives, he says to Jesse, "Bring me all of your sons." And the oldest son comes in. He's tall, he's handsome. He looks like an athlete that would play for the Dallas Cowboys, maybe the defensive end. I mean, a really big, strapping man. Samuel goes, "Wow, that's not a king. I've never seen one." But the Lord says to Samuel, "You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at the outward appearance. You're looking at his height and his stature." He said, "I'm measuring his heart. And his heart doesn't measure up." I trust and pray that you want God's best in your life. I hope that you pray, "God, help me with my job. Help me raise a godly family. Help me have a strong marriage. Help me with my finances, Lord." But you fool yourself if you think you can ask for God's help and not listen to God in your own life. See, this point is a simple point. It's this one. We must be yielded to God. Our hearts must be yielded. Before David cried out for help, God had his heart. You see, when you say, "God, help me raise my family," is your heart yielded to God? Because he may take you somewhere you don't want to go. When you say, "God, help me with my finances. I'm having trouble paying my bills." Is it yielded to God? Are your finances in God's hands? This is where it all begins. Success for the Christian begins when our heart says, "God, not my way, but your way. God, I don't have to have my things. God, I want your things." And there was something in this young man that Samuel's going to find that had a heart for God. And when God finds that heart, it delights him to bless. You see, too often we're praying, "God, bless me." But we don't want to position ourselves under the flow of his blessing. We want God to come over here and bless us where we are. But David had a heart for God, and he was yielded to God. And friends, that's where it begins. A heart yielded for God. Second point here, let's go into the scriptures. Now, this is David's father. Then Jesse called Ben-Hadad and him passed before Samuel. And then Jesse had seven of his other sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord's not chosen any of these." So then he asked Jesse, I love this, "Are there any others? Do you have any others?" And the father says, "Well, there is one other, but he's just keeping the sheep." Oh, talk about low expectations for your son. He's just keeping the sheep. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." I am convinced that we have an enemy that wants to keep God from blessing you. And one of the things he's going to tell you is you can't go any further. And then he's going to find some other people he can prompt to say, "You can't go any further and you can't do anything else." And if he can beat us down enough, we'll begin to buy into it. Now, I know that we have some people here today that coming up, you were never encouraged as a child. Your parents never told you that you could be anything and do anything. Maybe it was somebody else who had a relationship with you and just said, you're just not that smart. I actually heard a father one day tell his son, and my blood boiled when I heard it. He said, you're just good for nothing. And I'm thinking, wow. Parents, we can put, if we're not careful, labels on our children. And they'll begin to believe that label. Jesse thought his youngest son, David, would be the shepherd of the family. After all, he's not the biggest, he's not the smartest, but he can watch the sheep. People have expectations for you. But you do not have to live up to those expectations. Second point is this, we cannot be controlled by the expectations of others. When others tell you, you can't, your heart needs to say, yes, I can. When others say, you're not smart enough, something inside of you should say, watch me. Now, I know it's hard if you've not come up in an encouraging family. Apparently, David didn't. But you cannot allow, again, the expectations of others to keep you down, and it happens so easy. Can I tell you one of my pet peeves? I'm going to tell you anyway. It was a pet peeve of mine coming up when the coach or the teacher would say something like, all right, everybody, we're going to play softball. Jim, Bill, you're the captains. Choose your teams. Do you know where I'm going? Choose your teams. And as soon as I would say that, there are always some kids cringe because they're not athletes. And they know that they're going to be the last ones chosen. They know as everybody else begins to be picked, they're going to be the leftovers. And eventually, when everybody is chosen, somebody will say, well, we'll take Tom then. I hate that because of the self-image it gives to those kids that they're just not ever going to go very far. They're just not very much. But I'm telling you, there is inside of you something that is so powerful, something that God has put inside of you that you can achieve the dreams and the purpose He created you for. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. To prosper you and to be a blessing, not to harm you. Now, I especially hope today for our teenagers here and our young adults, not only our young adults, but our maybe middle-aged adults and us older adults, to understand God's not through with us yet. But if you think you can go no further, I will make you this promise, you can go no further. If you think you can't, you can't. One of the things I heard from my father often, now I don't think this is proper English, but I can't tell you how many times I heard him say, can't, never could, do nothing. And the first time I heard it, we had just brought a number of young calves into a holding pen. I had about 15 of them. And there were a couple that we were going to cut out and raise to show in the fair. One of them was a young bull. Now, he was just a young bull, only about 8 months old. But we're still talking about 500 pounds. And my father says to me, Ken, go in there and cut him out. Well, most of these are bulls in here. They really didn't like us, didn't like me for some kind of reason. And I remember I looked at my dad, because my dad always did that cutting out. You actually have to go in there and force them where you want them. And again, he ain't big, but he's 500 pounds of ripping, snorting bull. And I remember I said, Dad, I can't. And I didn't even get the sentence out. My dad said, can't, never could, do nothing. Get in there, Ken. Yes, sir. So I got in and I got him out. I did hear that several times through the years too. But you know what? I've come up with a conviction. You can do anything. Anything. Can't, never could, do nothing. And if you've been told you can't, it's a lie. If you've even told yourself you can't, it's a lie. It's a lie that Satan is suggesting. It's a lie that you've bought into. God wants something better for your life. Down to the scripture on the third point. Now, the scene has changed. David has been anointed as the future king. But now we go forward a couple of months, and a battle is taking place between Israel and the Philistines. Some of his brothers are fighting in the army. David's still keeping the sheep, but he wants to see the battle. So he says, when Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking, he burned with anger and he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? He said, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You only came down to watch the battle. Did anybody here have an older brother? Did he give you a hard time ever? David's did him. They were constantly on his case about it, what he couldn't do. Now, you've got a picture of the scene. You have the Philistine army on one hill. You've got the army of Israel on the opposite hill. They would stand and oppose each other, and then they would come to attack. It was exciting to watch a battle. David is there, and he wants to watch the battle. But all his brothers can do is criticize him. Why are you here? What are you doing? You will face critics in your life. You have to decide if you're going to believe them or if you're not going to believe them. David was told you can't so many times. Maybe he pondered it a few times, but there was something in his relationship with God that he understood. With God on my side, I can do anything. In 1501, Florence, Italy, there is a sculptor named Michelangelo. You've heard the name. He was also a turtle, wasn't he? He was a ninja turtle. But this is a sculptor, Michelangelo. He's walking through the streets of Florence, Italy, where there's a lot of construction going on. And he finds a piece of discarded marble, a large stone. And he asks one of the workers, what is this piece of marble here? And they say, well, it was discarded. We think it's got a flaw in it. Michelangelo said, I would like to buy it. And he said, no, you don't want that slab. It's got a flaw in it. Michelangelo told him, no. There is something special inside that slab of marble. He bought it and created the 12-foot statue of David. Now, I obviously am not showing you the whole statue of David because he's anatomically correct. In case you are wondering, his left hand is holding a sling. His right hand, if you looked at it, he's holding stones. The most famous and possibly the most greatest sculpture ever was by Michelangelo, because he said, I saw something in that stone. Somebody asked him, how did you do it? He said, it was easy. He said, I envisioned David and I just cut out everything else that wasn't part of the statue. God wants to redo something in our life, to make it a thing of beauty, to make it something that he can use. But as long as we listen to the criticisms of others and the naysay of others and other people telling us, you can't do it, we will tend to go no further. We will tend to stay in our tracks and think, well, I guess they're right. Let's move on to 4, Jose. So at this point, David has told his brothers, I'll fight that giant Philistine that keeps coming out. Because you see, every day when the armies lined up, that giant Philistine, whose name was Goliath, he would come out and challenge the people of Israel and say, let's not lift the armies, I'll do battle with one person. And it'll determine the outcome. All of Israel's soldiers were just quaking, afraid. David told his brothers, I'll fight him. I'm not scared of him, I'll fight him. So finally the word gets to King Saul, you got to volunteer. And this is what Saul says to David. You're not able to go up against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And he has been a fighting man since he was a kid. The Bible says he was right at 9 feet tall. He had an armor bearer in front of him. His armor bearer was carrying for him a javelin and a spear. Goliath himself had a sword. Here's the thing about it. What Saul said was right. He was right. You're going up against this giant soldier, warrior, and you're just a punk of a kid. He was right. But, this is the fourth point, we can't focus on our limitations. He was right. He was absolutely right. But David chose not to examine his ability. He did not choose to look at what he could not do, but he chose instead to look at what he could do. Because you see, what Saul didn't know about David was two things. He was a pretty good shot with that sling. And secondly, David feared nothing. He says that as he defends himself, he says, one day a lion came and took a lamb. And I went and took that lamb out of his mouth and I killed that lion. And he said, one day a bear came and took a lamb. I went and pursued that bear and I killed that bear and I took that lamb out of his mouth. David was not looking at the size of his opposition. What he was looking at was what God had done in him before, and he was just confident that God could do it again. Now, I don't know what giants you face. I don't know what it is that stops you in your tracks. I don't know if the devil has beat you down so far that you feel like you're just not hardly worth anything. Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, you are. You have great value to God, and you have great value, and God can do wonderful things in and through your life. Maybe you failed before in trying something. We've all failed. You just get up and go again. But you can't allow your limitations to hinder you. And again, I don't know where your giant is. I don't know what your giant is telling you or where you feel like it is, but I know our enemy well enough to know he's whispered in your ear, This is the best you can do. You can't go any further. Guys, you can go back to school. You can get a better job. You can take care of your family. God has called you to do some things and you've settled and said, well, I just can't do it. Ladies, girls, sometimes you found yourself in an abusive relationship and you've been convinced oftentimes by the abuser himself, I cannot do any better. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. When we think we can't, we can't. When we allow our limitations to stop us, they will stop us dead in our tracks. Moving on. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his sword bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked over at David and he saw what was only a boy. Red in complexion, but he was a good-looking boy. And it displeased Goliath. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine answered David by his gods, or he was cursing him in the name of his gods. And the Philistine said, come here, David. I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beast of the field. His point is, we can't be intimidated by our obstacles. Any mountain can be moved. Any opposition can be overcome. But it's not going to happen until your heart becomes yielded to God and you recognize, I am not in this battle alone anymore. It's not just me. God's on my side. You see, he had a great obstacle. Now, Keegan's still back at the back there. I was watching Keegan's game Tuesday. And they lined up, and Keegan was playing defensive end, right? He's playing defensive end, and the guy that's stood opposite him, I thought, looked kind of like a giant, Keegan. Did you think so? He was, and he came up to the line and he pointed at Keegan. Remember that? If you saw Blind Side, the guy was about that big and he was about that good. And he just pointed at Keegan. And Keegan, I don't want to embarrass you, but first play, he took Keegan to the ground. But I'm not through here yet. Keegan got up so fast, though, he was still in on the tackle. Sometime we may face an opposition that is intimidating. But it's when we face that intimidating obstacle that we grow in our faith with God and we grow with what God can do through us. David looks at this giant Philistine. Yes, he is a warrior. He has all of Israel's armies intimidated. But it never bothered him. Somehow, I think he saw the obstacle as something that God would have to move out of his way for God to fulfill what he wanted to do in his life. Let's go on to the next portion of Scripture. David said to the Philistine, I love this, you come at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come against you this day in the name of the Lord God Almighty. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. David understood a principle. And if you get nothing else out of this day, you need to understand this. We do not walk alone. We must remember that we are not alone. David understood as he stood before this giant that it wasn't him against the giant. It was him and the God that stood with him against the giant. The Apostle Paul phrased it like this. I've got it in your bulletins, I think. If God be for us, who can be against us? Sure, our enemies rise up. Those people on the job say you can't. Don't even apply for the promotion. Don't even apply to the school. Don't even think about going to college. Don't think about getting out of that relationship. You can do no better. Yes, you can, because you're not alone. God is on your side. And just the way Paul phrased it, if God be for you, he's saying, think about this. If God is for you, what opposition can rise up against you? No one. David got it. You want to know why God chose him over his eight brothers? Because he got it. That it was not just him. That he had a heart yielded to God. And he knew that God would use him. Now, I don't know if his heart was about to beat out of his chest or not. But you know, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is going forward in spite of the fear. Let's go to this last point here. David said to the Philistine, as he moved closer to attack, and look what David does. David ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. Now, most of us, let's be honest about it, we're standing here in opposition to a giant whose sole goal and purpose is to kill us and feed us to the birds. And by birds, we mean the vultures. I would have been standing there saying, hope the trumpeter plays retreat. Wouldn't you? Guys, come on up and help me. The giant begins to move forward. David runs to him, ran to him, to the place that they would stand and do battle. You know what one of our problems is? We don't run to the battle. We wait till tomorrow. Well, I'm not going to try it today, but tomorrow. I'm not going to make that call today, but tomorrow. Because there's opposition ahead of us. Maybe we've been brought up and told you can't so many times. We've bought into it, and that giant is down there. Maybe it's just a sign that says, you can't. And so therefore you say, well, I'll think about it tomorrow. This Philistine has been coming out for several days. Maybe as he approached, he thought David would turn tail and run. But again, David has something that nobody else has on that battlefield. He has a heart yielded to God. And when we have a heart yielded to God, we are open to God doing the battle for us. David actually said, the battle is the Lord's. It's not my battle, it's God's battle. And if you'll understand that that opposition that you face, God's going to be there to help you through it. Some of you guys, some of you young men, don't settle. Don't settle for a job if you think and wish you could do better and you should do better. Figure out a way to make it happen. Do better for yourself. Do better for your children. Do better for your wife. That God might bless you, that you might be in a better position to bless others. That you not be afraid to take that next step. David's giant was not Goliath. I'll be honest with you. He had that done from the beginning. He had that one nailed down. He knew he would win that one. His giant was overcoming. What his brother said about him, what his dad thought about him, what King Saul thought about him, what Goliath thought about him. His giant was mounting courage in the face of everybody saying, "You can't." With God's help, he said, "I can." And you know, if the devil can keep you down, he's won the victory. I want to close out and show you a music video. But I need to tell you about what it is here just real quick. It's a music video entitled Shepherd Boy. It's a story of how God chose a young shepherd boy that nobody thought much of. But in him, God saw a king. And so for the first couple of minutes of this video, you're going to see Samuel and David and some of the family. But the last half of this video is taken from that movie that many of us have seen, Facing the Giants. You will see the coach as he overhears the parents saying, "Our team is never going to go forward with this coach. He's a failure, and we need to get him out." And then when he gets home, he finds out from the doctor that the reason he and his wife can't have children is his problem. He feels like an absolute failure. And then you're going to see a young boy. He loves to play soccer, but the school doesn't have a soccer team, so he goes out for a football, and he's the backup kicker. And frankly, he's not much of a backup kicker. He's small, and he just can't kick the ball that far. But his father believes that God can do anything through you. And he says, "Son, just believe that you can do anything with God on your side." And it just so happens that the kicker on the team gets injured. So at the very end of the ball game, where it all hinges on a field goal, a 51-yard field goal, this backup kicker, this 5 foot nothing, weighs 100 and nothing. But the coach convinces him, "Do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe that you can do it?" And I want you to hear today, you can do anything with the Lord on your side. You can be anything that God lays out before you with the Lord on your side. The saddest words of thought and pen are these: "It might have been." What does God want to do in your life? And what have you settled for? I'm going to ask you in just a second to close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you today, I want to pray for you. If there is a giant that's in your path, if there is a giant that has kept you back or held you down or has defeated you, and you know this is not God's plan for your life, you're not alone. You're not alone here. The devil whoops up on all of us. But I want you to know that God is on your side. And as Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Would you just bow your heads with me? And would you say, if you would say, "Pastor Ken, I have a giant I need to defeat." We're not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to stand up. Right there where you are, I want you to stand and say, "Pastor Ken, I have a giant. Would you pray for me?" Would someone else stand? God bless you. "I'm facing a giant. Would you pray for me? I've been discouraged and I've been defeated. I have a giant in my path. Would you pray for me? I have an obstacle I'm afraid to attack. Would you pray for me?" I will pray for you, but I will first remind you that you are not alone. The battle is the Lord's. You can go anywhere with God if you'll just listen to Him and do it. Let today be that change in your life. Let today be the day that you go home, you make that call. You talk to that person, you go ahead and send in that application. Father God, this day before you we stand, Father. We've been beat down. We've been discouraged. Our enemy's had his way in our life. He's told us we can't so many times. He's convinced us of it. Father, birth in us a new spirit. This is with God's help, I can. Birth within us, within me, a new hope that with God on my side, I can achieve. I can climb any mountain, defeat any obstacle. I can be that person God's created me to be. And then through that blessing, Lord, bless through me. Make my life a blessing to others, Lord. And Father, may you get the glory for it, Lord. Now, Father, I pray you would stay the hand of the enemy. And I pray that you might encourage us this day to walk strongly before the Lord and to, like David, charge up that mountain to face that obstacle that you will defeat in my life. Father, have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Kenny.